Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and jump into it. Father, thank you so much for already the blessings that our eyes get to behold and the worship that has set an atmosphere for your word to come forth. And Father, we just pray that we have our minds and our hearts open to your word and your spirit this morning, God, and just let it come and do its thing in our life. If that's you, say yes and amen.
Yes, amen.
All right, you asked for it. You're right there. You asked for it. Part two today of what we call in the kingdom of God. If anybody wasn't here last week and you're here this week, okay, got a few. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to last week because it kind of lays the foundation of what we're going to be going into in this series called the kingdom of God. And just to recap a little bit last week to make sure you got it, Jesus is not an American. Shocking, I know. But he has not been, never has been, nor will he ever be an American.
Amen.
He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, we learned last week, Jesus, when he was here, he never went and joined any of the religions in the earth. He didn't join with them. Why? Because he was not in and of himself about man's religion.
Amen.
Okay? Are y'all okay? And we learned last week that Jesus did not establish a religion. He didn't bring a religion to earth. He brought his Father's kingdom to earth. Kingdom and religion are two different things. All right? So that's all I'm going to try not to backtrack much. But again, I want to make sure you understand where we're going. Now, let me encourage you or kind of forewarn you on this message. When you start talking about the difference between kingdom and religion, it's daylight and dark. And when you start to get turned on to, wow, it really was. And how many of you know, just from the scriptures last week, let me ask you this. What was Jesus' message, his theology to the earth? We read it 30-something scriptures last week in just one book. Jesus quotes the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is like this, the kingdom of heaven is like this, the kingdom of heaven has come, the kingdom of God is here. Just constant. And that was just one book, 30-something scriptures. And just one testament of the book. And it's all throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, okay? So what you got to do is kingdom is not this organ. Kingdom is not an organization. A kingdom is a kingdom. It's a government. And it governs its people by it, okay? Y'all are paying good attention, or you just like, wow, where are we going this week? Now, let me encourage you, don't try to take a couple of messages deep into this and go out and try to tell everybody to become kingdom. Because you're going to freak them out. You're going to make them think, because most people will say America's a religious nation. And we've turned that because we've got an Americanized Jesus. Again, Jesus was not religion according to the world standard. He was kingdom according to his Father's standard. He didn't create a religion. He didn't join a religion. He didn't start a religion. And again, we talked about this. Now, we'll backtrack on this. Well, what about Christianity? Christian. Everybody say Christians.
Christian,
the word, we carry the title Christian not out of a denomination or a religion. It was originally designed for us to carry his name. Christian means Christ-like. I am from Alabama. Can you tell? And being from Alabama, if somebody asks me what I am, according to my status in my state, I'm an Alabamian. Anybody born in Tennessee? Well, bless your heart. Therefore, you are a Tennessean. Oh, Michigan, we're not even going to go there. We're not sure that's even part of the United States still. It's above the Mason-Dixon line, okay? So Christian just simply is like Alabamian. I'm from Alabama. Christian is I'm from Christ. Therefore, I'm a Christian according to Christ, not religion. Not man's organizational religious deities and things of that nature, okay? So again, Jesus Christ's message, Jesus Christ's theology was the kingdom of God. We discovered that last week, and again, I encourage you to go back and read that. Now, and I really debated about whether to go ahead and start off with something that may just make you gasp and almost maybe want to get up and leave, but please don't. But I decided to go ahead because, I mean, hey, why not, right? In talking about the kingdom, now again, you got to get kingdom eyes to look and listen to this message. If you try to process this message through your religion, it's going to jack you up pretty bad. You're going to get your religious spirit offended really easily and, oh, he's not saying I'm this. No, I'm not saying, oh, just listen. Do you know, again, Jesus' message about the kingdom, do you know that Jesus never preached? Now, we know the words of Jesus are all throughout the Bible, but there's only a handful of sermons he actually preached. The rest of it was interactions with religious people. You know, he calls them brood of vipers and hypocrites, you know. Jesus, now listen to this. This flipped me out when I discovered this. Jesus never actually preached a sermon on being born again.
Right. That's right.
I know. That wasn't his main message. As a matter of fact, the term born again is only found in three places in the whole New Testament. Now, we know there's other references, but actual words, born again, three places. Jesus says it twice. Peter says it once. Isn't that amazing? Religion focuses on you got to be born again to get to heaven. Which we're going to go more into that in either next week or the next week, because being born again is the utmost importance. But born again to what? What am I born again to? Because if I'm born again to religion, religion can take you to hell as fast as anything I know. But if I'm born into the kingdom of heaven on earth, there's the difference. And I will show you in a few weeks why Jesus did use that word on really. And do you know he didn't use it in a sermon? Who did he use it with? He used it with one of the high priests, Nicodemus.
Right.
And Nicodemus came at night time, and it was just between those two. Now, it's not that it's not important. It is very important. You're not going to get to heaven without being born again. This is yes. But again, what are you born again into? That's what sets your eternal. So let me give you that scripture real quickly. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now watch this. This man came to Jesus, everybody say, by the night.
By night,
and said to him, Rabbi. Everybody say, Rabbi.
Rabbi.
Isn't it cool you put a T on it, you got rabbit? But anyway, that's just the way I think sometimes. But Rabbi means what?
Teacher.
Master teacher. So Jesus was that, amen? He was a rabbi, but he wasn't just a rabbi. Because if he would have been a rabbi, he couldn't have been God. Because a rabbi is not God. It's a teacher of God. And I ain't got time to go into that. But remember the word rabbi. Everybody say rabbi. Okay. Rabbi, he said. We know. That's what I love about him. He knew. This religious person knew. A lot of religious people know, but they still hang on to their religion over getting a hold of Jesus. Teacher, good teacher, rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, you would think Jesus would go into a dialogue here with him. Well, yes, these miracles are performed because I'm the Son of God, and you know I'm the man, and you know I'm able to do these because I come from the Father. Jesus did not engage in an intellectual conversation about his deity at this point. Look what Jesus answered and said to him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see. Now watch this. See what? The kingdom of God. He didn't say born again to see religion. He didn't. He said, unless you become born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. The what?
Kingdom.
Keeping in with Jesus' theology and his message that he came to earth to preach. And so then verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, and again, you got to give on Nicodemus, you got to give on Nico here a little credit. This is weird. We understand born again because of the Bible. This is the first time and only time Jesus himself ever mentions it. That would stump all of us. Born again? I don't remember. I mean, I know I was at the first one, but I don't remember nothing about it. Any of y'all remember being born? How many of you were there for it, though? Some of y'all not sure. Okay, that's okay. That's all right. He says, how can a man be born when he's old? And he really, I mean, him being a smart man, this was the, I mean, I wouldn't have thought of this answer. I mean, it shows Nicodemus was sharp. And he asked Jesus, he says, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, that's logical thinking. That's very wise thinking and a good question to ask. And then Jesus says a few things, and if you drop down to verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 7, John, it says, Jesus says to him, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Don't marvel at that. It's what you're being born to you need to get a hold of. Amen? And then the only other time it's mentioned in the Bible as the term born again, now we know the salvation of the Lord's in there and things like that, and it means the same thing, but the only other time being born again is mentioned is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter saying, having been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Come on, thank you, Jesus. How? Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. I'll be tying that in maybe in a few weeks with born again. Okay? Are y'all okay? So, again, I'm going to be covering a lot more on being born again, and I'll show you why Jesus used that term. It's very important. Even though Jesus only used it twice, it's utmost important, and I'm going to be showing you that here in a few weeks in this series, okay? Y'all all right? All right, so let's go ahead and put up the first note. Get more on today's message. A kingdom must have a territory. A territory means land, mass, everything about it. You're not a king unless you got something to be king over. Now, I could sit here today and say, I'm king of Alabama, but I'm not over any of the territory of Alabama. I do have my house, but if I don't pay the government rent on it every month, I really can't keep it. Hey? You too, by the way. So now, and again, I'm going to fly over this one real quickly. It's okay, though. So the word kingdom means a king's domain. The domain is where he rules at, his territory, his boundaries, his borders, but up against other kingdoms. So we know that the kingdom in heaven, the third heaven, is all God all the time. God wanted to expand his kingdom, so he created a universe where a planet called Earth would exist, and he's going to create people in his image to inhabit this earth and have a kingdom here also. Now, in kingdom language, we call that colonization. Everybody say colonization. So it's going to be a colony of heaven on earth. Y'all are paying pretty good attention this morning. Because I'm trying to explain it real easy. So in colonization, do you realize that America was not always the United States of America? We did not start that way. We didn't become that until 1776. Up till then, we were a colonization of Britain, Great Britain, under Great Britain's king. Thank God our forefathers didn't want that because the king was not that great. And he started giving us taxation without any representation. And a bunch of goodens got down over here and says, no, we don't think so. But you don't say, I don't think so, to a king without him bringing in an army and wiping you out. And when that began to happen, all the pastors of the churches by that time had said, we're going to have no king but King Jesus. Thank God for the Black Robe Regiment pastors in the early America. Many of them led militias to fight for the freedom of America. Thank God again for that. We need another uprising of that. Amen? So you gotta have territory. So earth is a colonization of the original kingdom. He created it. He put Adam and Eve here. And they had the kingdom of heaven on earth as it was in heaven at the time. Okay, this is God's design. Now, let me tell you something. A lot of times we think king and kingdoms, all we know is corrupt kings around the earth. All we know is that they sit high in a palace, the paupers are out here in the fields doing all the work, the king sits up here and gets fat. That ain't King Jesus. King Jesus wants you to have it, the fullness of his kingdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. Not some of it. He wants you to share in everything he is. That's the difference. That's why he's the King of Kings. Because there's no other king like him. Because all other kings want to rule over you and they're better than you. Jesus says, I want to make you equal. Whew, it's hard to fathom. Religion says, get born again so when you die, you can go to heaven. Kingdom says, get born again so heaven can come to you while you're on earth. Religion is preparing to leave the earth. Kingdom is saying, affect the earth while you're here. That's why you're here. One is escapism. The other is invade and conquer. Let me show it to you from the beginning. Are y'all okay? Now, Adam and Eve had the kingdom on earth in the Garden of Eden. Absolutely. And I'll mention this again. So a kingdom was given, colonized and given. Then a kingdom was lost. Adam and Eve lost the kingdom. And it stayed lost until Jesus came, the King of Kings came back, died for all mankind, and reestablished the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So kingdom given, kingdom lost, kingdom reestablished. And again, that's what all Jesus' messages was. Now, I know this is a lot to chew. Put up the next note. I'm going to give you the title of what this is. This is the original commission. Now, we know the great commission out of the New Testament is what? Go ye therefore into all the world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And lo, I'm with you always. That's what we call the Great Commission, which really most American churches could consider it the Great Suggestion. Because if it was a commission and you were commissioned, that means you have to do it. But religion lets that be a suggestion. Right. So if it fits you and your personality and you feel like it, you will. If you don't, you won't. And religion gives you that opportunity. Kingdom doesn't. Kingdom says, I've commissioned you, go do it. That's why most people don't want to be kingdom. Just give me my good old time religion. He even wrote a song, give me that old time religion. No, thank you. Give me the kingdom. Okay? So here, the original commission was in the kingdom of God on earth with Adam and Eve. They lived in what was called paradise, Garden of Eden. I mean, can you imagine you can stroll out here and hang out with a huge lion? Kitty, kitty. You can go over here and ride a bear down the road. That would be awesome. You can go out here and you can hang out with a turkey. Yes, dinner. If you're hungry, you just tell the fish, jump up here on the plate. Yay. You understand? That's what Adam and Eve enjoyed. So let's go to the original commission. In other words, why did God colonize earth with his kingdom? And what was his commission to Adam and Eve? What was their role? What theology did he preach to them that they should do while they're on earth? Because it's going to look just like the kingdom of heaven. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 is what we consider, or what many people, and I especially, call the original commission. The first commission to mankind. The original one. Then somebody said, who says, who's talking here? Understand, this is the word of God. Not a religion. God himself said this. Let us. Now, today, most of the scriptures are all King James, New King James Version. One thing I really like about the New King James Version, it capitalizes anywhere it talks about the deity of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, if your Bible don't do that, it's okay. If you read and understand, you know. But when I'm teaching, I love to point this out. Then God said, let capital us. Who's us? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They were all three there. Jesus was not coming to creation existence at his birth. He was already. They've all three existed, and they are. Let us, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, make man in capital our, which means Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in our image. I just got to stop there. If you want to see what the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost looks like, turn to your right. Now, that's an image. It ain't a perfect image. Now, turn to your second favorite and go, there's a little more. Now, it's not what's on the outward appearance. It's about what your character and your belief system is. And it's supposed to look just like the King of Kings. So we're going to make mankind in our image according to, they're going to be in our likeness, and we're going to let them is not capitalized. Them is not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Them is Adam and Eve. So we're going to let the thing we created be on earth. And we're going to let them have what? Dominion. Come on, say dominion.
Dominion.
Come on, say dominion like you like it.
Dominion!
We're not going to let them have portion. We're not going to let them have some. They are going to have dominion. Now, what are they going to have dominion over? Dominion's not any good unless you... Again, it's part of the word kingdom, king's domain. So if you've got dominion, you got to have something to have dominion over. So let's take a look deeper. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle. Stop there. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle. Sea, land, and air. The original Navy SEAL was Adam. That's what SEALs stand for in a SEAL team, sea, air, and land. They can attack from the sea, they can attack from the air, and they can attack on land. That's the three elements of earth that everything operates in, sea, land, and air. So in other words, they've got dominion over everything. Nothing was held back from them having dominion over. God did not keep a portion out for himself and say, oh, no, I'm going to handle all of this. Now, all of it belonged to him, but he's not leaving there to come here until Jesus is needed. And to my knowledge, when America was colonized from Great Britain, the king of Great Britain never stepped foot over here. But yet he ruled this place. He would send his governors over to govern the affairs of this new territory to make sure it complied with the king back over in Britain. That's what kings do. So here's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Father, Son, Holy Ghost in here, made this place and says, you're going to be the governors. And it's perfect. Everybody say it's perfect. And he says, I'm going to give you dominion over the sea, the land, and the air. But he doesn't stop there. He adds something else. Let's read on. So cattle and over all the earth, everybody say all the earth, and that's all the earth, sea, land, and air. Now watch this, and, everybody say and, transitional word, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We've uncovered the land animals and the land. We've covered the vultures and the birds and all that in the air, and we've covered everything in the sea. But why did he add this thing that's creeping on the earth? Because he had cast Satan and his cohorts out of heaven to the earth. Religion says they cast them down here and put us here. That way we could war and fight against the devil, and the devil, oh, bless God, he's constantly going to be at you and hopefully again get born again where you can get out of here. No. God put Satan here because he put his authority over him here. We were sent here to torture Satan. Yes. But see, religion doesn't teach you that. I'm sorry it doesn't. I wished it did. Satan was creeping around on the earth. He crept up to Eve, challenged the authority of God, challenged the kingdom. But now watch this. Adam and Eve had dominion over him. If they would have exercised the dominion, you and I would not be here today. We would be out, anybody that didn't know Christ, we'd be out there winning them right now. If we got hungry, we'd go down there by the ocean and just command a couple of flounder and grouper to jump up out of there. I would have rode, I'd have probably took the giraffe up here today. Commanded that thing to come up and pick me up. No, I live a good way, so I'd have probably flew on some bird. Big one too, man. I got on top of that joker and flew up here this morning. But because they did not exercise their dominion, they lost the kingdom and had to settle for a fallen world. Are y'all okay? Go to the next verse, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, created him, say it with me, male and female, he created them. Final. There are two genders only. There is no other gender. There's not. Well, so-and-so, I don't even know how much they're supposed to be now. 30-something? And I'm not here, only the truth can set you free. No other genders can be created. I don't care what you silicone or what you lop off. It does not change. Baby, it's going to be okay. I looked over at my wife. She went to praying immediately. She went to praying like this. But it don't matter what you silicone up or you lop off. It doesn't change what God made you. Amen?
Amen.
He created male and female. That's all there is. I don't care what you do, what you say, what you paint. You ain't that. You can pretend in your mind, and you can even say it out of your mouth. But you can't make me agree with it, because I know the truth. If you were born a man, you a man. If you were born a woman, you a woman. Here's the thing about it. He even named them male and female. Watch this. The only thing God named on the earth. Male and female. Everything else Adam named, because Adam gave dominion. Why did he name them? Because Adam didn't have the dominion yet. When they were created, after they created, didn't God give them the dominion? See, he said, I've created male and female. Now y'all got it. Run with it. And he didn't mess up creating you a male or a female. Now, society will tell you you were wrong and you need to be this, and culture will tell you this. But all them, pretty much, unless they get saved and repent, they go into hell. Now, I don't say that with joy in my heart. I hate it. I don't want nobody to go there. But you can't go, you're not going to go to heaven unless you get born again. And you get born again, you don't change genders. Is that plain enough? Make sure I speak plainly today. So let's get down to where I really want to preach. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Stop. Goes right along with the verse we just read. He created him male and female. Because right after that, he blessed the man and the woman to be able to be fruitful and multiply. And if you will notice it, it can't happen any other way. Two men will never produce a baby. Two women can never produce a baby.
Oh, yes, we can. I know two women that's got babies, and she got pregnant, got a baby.
You know what she had to do? She had to have the seed of man injected into her. Right. Yeah. Honey, none of you women ever going to get pregnant without the seed of a man. Amen. Why? Because that's the way God designed it, and he's God, and you're not. So the only way he could say be fruitful and multiply was to a male and a female. Anything else cannot. Well, are y'all okay? All right, let's go. I got to move pretty fast today. Then he goes in here, and here's where I want to get to. He says, I want you to fill this earth, because male and female can do that. We can fill the earth. We're going to multiply. We're going to be fruitful. We're going to multiply. We're the only ones that can do that, male and female. Nobody else can do that on the earth. God's design, God's way, okay? And I want you to subdue. Everybody say, subdue it. And then he repeats himself. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth, sea, land, and air. Okay. Are y'all all right? Now, let me also make another statement before you leave here today. Let me make sure you understand something. Even in modern day time, right now, men cannot have a baby. If something that has had surgery and had things done and spits out a baby, that's a woman made to look like a man. That is not a man. Men are not born with the parts to produce a baby. That's a woman who's been deceived, believed a lie, and spit out a baby. Make sure you understand that. You hate those people. No, I love you enough to tell them the truth. All right, everybody say, hang on. What did he give them? Dominion. Everybody say dominion. Go ahead and put up the next note. The word dominion is the Hebrew word radah. Everybody say radah. Yeah, let me go ahead and do this. I'm saying it like Americans say it. Obviously, it is close, but we say it in the American tone because guess who we're preaching to? Americans. So we would pronounce that radah. If you want to actually pronounce it in the original language, it's radah. Yeah, I can roll my R's. Now, if I'm here to impress you, I would do that. Ruck-duck. Oh, the Hebrew word for that is ruck-duck. But Paul says, I don't come to you in fancy speech. Now, I'm not knocking people who do that. I just find it funny that when you talk American every way except that, then you want to try to impress people like you a Hebrew. I'm Hebrew grafted in, but I still speak Americanese. Was y'all impressed when I did that? Good. Because if you was, you would be superficial and kind of shallow. But you'd be amazed at how many people want to try to impress you by all of a sudden speaking. I never forget, I could probably talk about it because I think he's dead. I used to meet with a bunch of pastors on Monday years ago in an association, and they would have Monday meeting just for pastors, and they'd bring another pastor in to preach to us, which was a really good thing. I really enjoyed it. And we had a pastor. He was an older guy, and I'm sure he's going on to be with the Lord unless he's 125 or 30 now. But he would come in there, and his family was moving to Pakistan. Everybody say Pakistan. Y'all know what I'm talking about over yonder? Okay. Y'all caught the yonder thing, didn't you? And he would say, pray for my family in Pakistan. Every time we met, pray for my family. Well, I think he got to go over. I'm pretty sure he got to go over there or his family come home. And in the next meeting, and y'all know how I am. I got a sense of humor, kind of sick one sometimes, but my mind goes to places. Okay? And this is the same guy I've been talking to. It's probably about a year about his son and his family and daughter being over in Pakistan. Pray for him. They're in Pakistan. Pakistan is. And he'd give us an update what's going on in Pakistan, the war and stuff and things going on. But then all of a sudden, I think he went over there. And when he came back, Same guy, talked about everything else. When it comes to, hey, I want y'all to pray for my son. He's in Pakistan. What'd he say? He says, yes, in Pakistan. Pakistan. I know Pakistan. I know Iran. I know Sudan. I know the Dans, but I ain't never heard of Pakistan. So I poked the brother next to me, the other pastor. I said, where's he been? He said, he's trying to think he's Middle Eastern. Just cut him a break. I said, oh, okay. So we're still talking about Pakistan then, right? Yes. Okay, well, now I know how to pray. But isn't it weird how we sometimes want to try to impress people? And a while ago, you remember Rabbit to Rabbi? They called him what? Rabbi. And even King James translated that. It's not Rabbi in the original. It's Rabboni. But if I'd have sat up here today and said, Jesus, we know you are Rabboni. Did he say something about running a bone down or what? What did he say? It's just a pet peeve. But Rada, we'll just call it Rada because that's how we would say it. Rada! It means to rule. It means to have dominion. It means to subjugate. Everybody say subjugate. That's an important word. Now watch this. It is related to the exercise of what? Everybody say authority. By the priesthood. Everybody say the priesthood. Authority to who? Exercised by the priesthood. Now, the theological significance of this, and theological means just a big fancy word for this is what they really believed. Okay? So the theological significance is the use of this word to, everybody say, identify. Identify people's God-ordained relationship to the created world around them. The dominion territory. So don't get excited. See, if you just look through this religious eyes, you don't get a lot. But if you look through kingdom eyes, you're like, oh, this is me. Oh, that's the original. This is what we're originally supposed to do. We're supposed to have dominion through the priesthood, authority over the earth, and we identify all of creation as our territory. So there ain't nowhere you go that the kingdom's not going with you. And all the benefits of it once you learn it. And you need that going to Walmart. Now subjugate, real quickly, put up the next note. Subjugate, that means you conquer, you overpower, you overcome, you defeat, you crush, and you subdue. What was the other thing Jesus told him to do besides dominion? He said dominion twice, subdue once. Subdue means you crush, you overcome, you defeat anything that goes against the kingdom. Why do you do that? Because you're under the king's authority. Hallelujah, are y'all okay? But let me back up there. Theologically significant in the use of this word is to identify people's God-ordained relationship to the creator of the world around them. You have to identify with the kingdom before you'll ever start operating in it. This is why I don't trust a lot of people and they say, oh, we kingdom. Well, tell me what kingdom is. Well, I mean, you know, king. Kingdom. What's kingdom? That's when churches get together and do stuff outside the walls and they come together in unity. That's kingdom. And I told you at first, that's a work of the kingdom. That's not just the kingdom, though. So you have to identify yourself as kingdom because of the King of Kings living in you, ruling your life to where you can now rule in this life. Oh, this is too much for some of y'all, I know, but it's okay. Just stay with me. Adam and Eve were never supposed to die. They had authority over death. They had authority over any disease or any affliction. They wasn't going to die if they'd have walked in their kingdom dominion. But they surrendered their dominion because they got to reasoning, is God not that good to us? He's holding something back from us. They questioned the love of God in their life. And can I tell you, that's what religion teaches you to do most of the time? Religion's based on your performance, not God's promises. Kingdom is all based on the king's promises to his people. Because when the king promises something to the people know they can have it because the king don't lie. That's right. Let's go quickly. So the word subdue in there, the word subdue is kabas. Or do you want me to say it regular? It sounds like you're going to hawk one up. Okay, let's just say that. Kabas. Okay. Yes, it's okay. Lighten up, Francis. Subdue. Everybody say subdue. Come on, say kabas. Come on, say kabas. It means to subdue. Watch this now. To bring into subjection, to enslave, to overcome. It is used to describe God's mandate to, watch this, humans to subdue the created order. Don't get excited. So Adam and Eve had the subduing power, they had dominion, and they were exercising it all the way up till they met the devil. And he crept in there and tricked them into giving it up. Y'all okay? But see, religion never tells you that you were meant to do this. Religion says just struggle the best you can, and hopefully if you're good enough, you'll make it to heaven and get out of here. The kingdom says the kingdom qualifies you. And his promises are yes and amen to you. And you have the dominion of the king's heaven on earth as it is in heaven. It's even in the Lord's Prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. Real quickly. Again, to cut time down, we're going to be going over this a little bit in some more messages. The New Testament Greek word for kingdom is basileia. Everybody say basileia. And in its simplest form is royal. Everybody say royal dominion. Royal. Now, why am I giving you that definition? Because I want you to understand. If you go back, let's see, where would that note at? Dominion, arada. It means theological significance is the use of this word to identify God's people, the exercise of authority by the priesthood. Y'all remember that? I had you say the priesthood a few times. The priesthood. Who exercises this authority? The priesthood. And see, some of you are going there, aha, see, that's for you guys, but it's not for us common people. Oh, somebody done went there. Yeah, you know where I'm going. And right down here, the word kingdom means royal dominion. So you're not just a dominion of a kingdom that doesn't have royalty in it. All kings are of royalty, but we are under the King of Kings, the royalty of all royalties. But it's for the priesthood. And I ain't got time to put this up there, but in 1 Peter chapter 2, it declares, for you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Yes. Don't get excited about yourself there. That's talking to you and me. We're a holy nation, a holy people. We're a royal priesthood. We're kings and priests. Thank you, Jesus. See, religious keeps you back. No, that ain't me. No, that ain't me. I'm religious. Well, stay religious and just more power to you. But the Bible says you're a royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood. In other words, that means you are of a royal dominion in this earth while you're here. Now, we will not need royal dominion when we leave here. The only place the church needs to operate in kingdom is while we're here, because we will be there then one day. But while we're in the colony, it's supposed to look like the king. Now, I want to give you one more word for kingdom and dominion, and it comes out of the Hebrew Aramaic. Okay? The Hebrew Aramaic word, and it comes out of what we call the square script of the word. There's a couple of different scripts that they wrote in. And it's Malkuta. Malkuta. It comes from the word Mamalek. Okay. But Malkuta means to reign, to rule, sovereignty, kingdom. Now watch this. In the biblical context, it means God's rule or reign. His authority, dominion, and active governance. And that's where we're going to go next week. Now watch this. It means an active governance rather than merely a physical realm. Religion teaches you to try to do the best you can with what you have, with what's around you. Kingdom says you got authority over everything, the sea, the land, and the air. And the principalities of the kingdom of the darkness operate in the air, in the atmosphere. So that means you've got authority into the spiritual realm where you are. It's more than just a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And you walk in authority over every demonic spirit. If you understand, you got the authority from God to do it. If you don't, religion says if it be your will, please. That way, when it doesn't happen because of your lack of faith, you can blame God. That's what religion teaches. Kingdom teaches, walk in your God-given dominion, speak to that thing, and it'll move. Well, I tried once. Yeah, but you tried once with a religious mindset still. You had plan B, C, and D, and excuses and explanations. And kingdom just has word of God, and that's it. If it didn't work, you know what? We go back and learn why our authority didn't work. Why, what am I not walking in right now? But see, what that does with religious people says, well, you mean some of the stuff that's happening to me and I'm walking through and putting up with is my fault? Yes. That's what I'm telling you. Now, we live in a fallen world and things are going to come at us, but we don't have to put up with a lot of things that we're putting up with. And listen to me now. And a prayer of unfaithfulness, it can't manifest. The Bible says the prayer of faith avails much. And probably in about 3 weeks, I'm going to teach you the difference between religious faith and kingdom faith. And that's going to blow you out of water. Amen? I think y'all probably had enough. If you take the different translations of the original commissions, Genesis 1, 26 through 28, other translations, instead of using the word dominion, they use some of the definitions of it. In the NLT, it says, and they will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over everything on the ground, over all the earth. In the NIV, they use the word rule. You're going to rule the earth. In the Amplified Bible, it says, and his creation will have complete authority over the whole earth. And in the Living Bible, it says this right here, and it says, and his creation will be master over the sea, the air, and the land. You're going to master that. You're going to rule. You have complete authority. You're going to reign over it. Everybody say, that was the original. But everybody say, they lost it. Jesus got it back. Jesus got the baton. He run with it while he was on earth. And when he come up out of the grave and he looks to you and me, he reaches the baton out and says, now it's yours. Take it. I've done. It is finished. Teleestai. I am done. I'm out of here. I have given you back. I have reestablished the original commission to mankind. You have my power. You have my name. You have my glory. You have my authority. You have my dominion. You have everything is available to the church today. And then Satan says, well, I'm going to start religions and not let them know that. And they'll depend more on us than they do God. And I'll go there some more in a little bit. Stand to your feet. Bow your heads, please. In the kingdom of God, people got everything back in the original commission. But because Jesus came, it was out of a state that it will never go back to in the Garden of Eden, because we still live, now we got to fight in a fallen world with it. But that's why he gave us the authority, the dominion, the rule, the reign, the authority to master the enemy's plans in our life. But you must be born again. I read you Jesus' own words. You, sir, ma'am, you must be born again to ever walk into any of this. If not, you are prey for the enemy. And you have no defenses and you have no excuses. And today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you, if you're kind of new here, this ain't the first time. I've been doing this for years at the end of a service, and I'd ask you if you want to get what we call born again or what we get called saved and are giving your life to Christ and become a child of God. I've never offered you religion. And I tell you, we don't offer you religion today. We offer you that authentic relationship of Jesus Christ as your King and your Lord and your Savior. And we don't want you to join church today. We're not talking about church members. We want to hook you up with the King, where you bow down and say, Lord, I can't save myself. I can't even pay for my own sin, God. I can't live and go to heaven without you. So today I acknowledge you are the Son of God, Jesus. You came and you died for my sins. And I believe you rose on the third day. And I believe that you conquered death, hell, and the grave for me, God. And so, Lord, yes, I believe you love me enough to do that. And so today, I just want to start loving you back by surrendering all of my life to you today, God, to be a part of your kingdom on earth, where you can fill me with your spirit and I can be about your work until I get home with you. And if that's you today and that's what you want and that's what's real, just lift your hand up and say, today's my day. I want to give my life to this Jesus. Anyone in here real quickly? Okay, I know. Maybe online, if you did that, let us know. But guys, please don't not come back. I want you to keep coming back for a couple of more weeks at least. Because as this thing unfolds, it's just more evidence upon more evidence upon more evidence. And it's not that we've been taught wrong. It's just that some stuff's been left out. And the stuff that's kind of been left out and ignored and kind of shoved over here, it's the main message of Jesus. You understand that? Go back and listen to last week. That was Jesus' theology. It was his mission. It was his life's work, was to bring the kingdom with him. He was the kingdom on earth. And that's why he says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now abides in you when you get born again. It's that kingdom of God's spirit in you, the Holy Spirit. So Father, be with us today. I know I give them some stuff to chew on today, Lord. But I ask that you just, the Holy Spirit, take it and manifest this week. I pray that this series has urged people to get into their word, God, and start to study it and give them that kingdom vision glasses to see through the word, God, and it starts lighting up all over the place when you read it from that context. It's an amazing word that you left us, Father, and it shows us plain. And I love all my Baptists and Methodists and Church of God and Presbyterian friends. I love every one of them, God, and they're saved. They love you. They go into heaven. But Father, I don't want to just go to heaven when I die. I want heaven in me while I'm here on earth, where I can take a whole lot more people with me. And I want to rule and reign over the enemy's plans to take me down and take me out and afflict me and ruin my name and the church and the family. Because that's what he wants to do. But when you've got authority over him, you recognize him and you know you're not scared. You know you got, oh, you're fixing to lose. So, Father, I thank you. I read the back of the book. We win. We win. We've already won. And we love you, everybody. Say, I love you, Jesus.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.